Who or what is to blame when younger people don't buy their first homes? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news this morning that construction on new houses and apartment complexes fell 2.7% in April. Developers just don't think people are looking to buy the way they did in previous economic booms. This tells us a lot about how people in their 20s and 30s live now. To help us with this, let's consult David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at JP Morgan Funds. Morning, Dr. Kelly.
Good morning.
This thing is a little weak with the housing starts.
Yes, it is. And we particularly look at single-family building permits, which don't get affected by the weather. And those are the lowest numbers we've seen in 5 months. And what I think is interesting here is it looks like housing starts are having a really hard time getting to 1.3 million. But if you go back to the 1950s, our average level of housing starts is 1.6 million. So there has been a structural change in this economy. There are just fewer people who are eligible or want to buy a home.
You know, getting a lot of attention today is an Australian millionaire that told Australia's 60 Minutes that the reason young people, millennials, aren't buying homes is because they're spending too much time on things like eating $19 avocado toast for breakfast. I don't think it's as simple as that.
Well, I'm not sure how in touch an Australian millionaire will be with the habits of U.S. millennials. No, I don't think it's as simple as that. I realize that millennials perhaps live a slightly different lifestyle from their parents, but I think a lot of people would like to own a home if they could. The problem is that if you look at things like credit scores, they're extremely high. The banks are very reluctant to lend money to younger people. They've got more college debt. They don't have as great jobs in terms of earning potential. The sad reality is there may be a little bit of sour grapes here where people say they don't want to buy a home. But I think the truth is a lot of young households simply can't afford to buy a home. And that says something, you know, it's a different kind of lifestyle here. It's not people can't just get married in their 20s and buy a home like they used to. That's really out of reach for many, many households in America.
And also, job demands force you to move a lot in this economy, and that sometimes makes people a little more reluctant to settle in one spot.
Well, that's right. And also, I think people are still a little bit shell-shocked by what happened to homes back in 2008. It always used to be seen as a great investment, and people are more mixed about that. But I think there is a bigger problem here in terms of the gap between rich and poor. I think, you know, rich millennials will buy homes like their parents did, but I think I think there are a lot of middle-income and poor Americans who are just forced to find an alternative way of getting by because they can't afford to live what was the American dream.
Yeah, with rents going up, it gets harder. David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you.
Anytime.
Target reports its latest profits and losses tomorrow. In an effort to pull itself out of a slump, Target's been trying to get back to basics, sprucing up stores, making groceries cheaper. That strategy means abandoning some of the more futuristic innovations. Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports from Minneapolis.
Target's head of innovation, Casey Carl, left the company earlier this month, and several projects he championed are getting tabled, including a food-focused innovation lab that was exploring ideas like building farms inside stores.
You can spend a lot of money future-gazing, and that is a useful thing to do if you have the breathing space to do that, but Target doesn't really.
Neil Saunders is managing director of Global Data Retail. He says Target is right to shift its focus to lowering its grocery prices to better compete with Walmart and Amazon and to renovating stores. Edward Jones analyst Brian Yarbrough says despite growth of its online sales, Target is still largely a brick-and-mortar retailer, so the in-store experience does matter.
That's where 95% plus of your sales come from. And so that's where you really need to focus and do a better job on the out-of-stocks, the food side, and drive traffic to the stores.
That said, in a tough retail landscape, Yarbrough wonders whether Target really needs 1,800 stores. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
But some common ground between Republicans and Democrats on a matter of health care. The Senate Finance Committee meets this morning to look at how to help the 3.5 million sickest Medicare patients, people with chronic conditions like diabetes or heart disease. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looks at a bipartisan bill to better serve people who cycle in and out of hospital.
Here's a well-known statistic. 5% of patients drive 50% of healthcare spending. Lawmakers and policy wonks have long been hunting for ways to help this population. One theory, people often don't have the right support at home. The Bipartisan Policy Center's Catherine Hay says this legislation would let doctors give their patients that help.
They would be able to sit down and talk to patients and their families and say, what do you need to remain in the home?
Under this proposal, Medicare would pay for things like in-home meals and non-emergency medical rides, like to the doctor. The hope is that minor tweaks could help keep patients out of the hospital.
The only guaranteed outcome from doing more for patients is that more is done.
That's Harvard's Michael McWilliams. McWilliams says this plan may improve patients' health, but it won't move the needle on saving money. Based on research, the best way to do that, says McWilliams, is to match people on Medicare with independent doctors who have financial incentives to lower spending. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And you know how Uber does surge pricing? Well, according to the Australian newspaper, Netflix is testing surge pricing for TV shows and movies in Australia. Want to watch in prime hours? Maybe you pay up to 20% more. They love testing things in Australians. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.